What's going on, everyone? Joe to Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling this Thursday morning. Well, we saw what we knew last night, which was that the Sixers were not likely to beat the Milwaukee Bucks without Joel Embiid and without Paul George. Now, it was not particularly pretty. Obviously, Maxey struggled having to have so much of the weight of the game on him. But look, that's not unexpected. We'll get into the Sixers. We'll get a lot into the Eagles today as well. 4-2 Birds against Cincinnati coming up on Sunday. A very interesting game. So all of that here with you today at 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Leeches have 32 brains.
Wow. Well,
that's so crazy. 32 brains. Their bodies are divided into 32 segments, and each segment is controlled by a brain.
Okay. I mean, that's a different one.
A leech. They're so gross. They're so small and
but can be life-saving.
32. You're
could
right.
Be.
Well,
could be.
Used to be.
Maybe.
Yeah, not anymore. Not but
they,
back in the day.
Can they lend one of those brains to the Sixers? I'm just asking for a friend.
A leech brain? Just the Sixers could use a leech brain?
What'd you make it last night, John? Because there's a lot going on with
what
the Sixers,
I make
obviously.
Of it?
Yeah. It's a weird game to evaluate because you're evaluating the lesser players.
If we're just talking about the game,
if they have less on
it
their,
it was discouraging to see that Tyrese was not able to do it all himself. You know, he had 25 and he looked great at times, but man, he's
inefficient.
Yeah. I like the hair on Tyrese.
There you go.
Nice work with that.
Yep.
I don't know. I hear that this is a deep team, that this is a good type of team with veterans that Nick Nurse can work wonders with. I wonder how anyone could hope to be doing anything without Joel Embiid, without Paul George.
Sure.
It's just really impossible to look good, to feel confident, to like anything that you saw last night because it's got this pall over all of it.
I know.
And by the way, how in the world is the NBA going to manage this? Like, if I'm the NBA, I'm incensed right now because I was just told by a team that their star player is not injured.
On national TV night where it's like day two.
It's the opening night.
And they're featured.
You know, like you're playing basketball to show, like, highlight your league.
I know.
And the star.
I know.
The star of the 76ers. Like.
I know.
Hey, he's not hurt. He's not hurt. But he didn't play.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Listen,
and where does that lead us? And I feel like I'm in trouble because the Sixers just did something incredibly stupid. Incredibly, like, off the wall bizarre.
Well, that
you
was
bizarre.
You told
everyone he's okay.
Yeah. Look, the whole thing is weird. We talked a lot about it yesterday. We'll certainly put it right back on the table again today, 215-592-9494. But also the evaluation of the game, meaning the players, meaning, you know, these lesser guys that had to do too much last night and obviously couldn't do it effectively enough. But what'd you make of it? You know, the new parts and as they fit into an equation once you get the big guys back and try to have everyone actually, you know, play a role that they're supposed to play.
So I like that we didn't turn it over too much.
Yeah, I wish Andre Drummond wasn't in foul trouble. That would have been nice, but he was in foul. It's all right. Look, all right.
I don't like Andre Drummond's mustache at all.
That was key.
I think he needs to work on that. But
right,
I love Andre Drummond.
Yeah, I like him too. So the whole Sixers thing, from the league investigation to Embiid specifically, to their strategy, to the lesser players, all of it on the table, 215-592-9494. Let's get to the Birds. So, you know, John, they've got a game coming up in 3 days that has sort of quickly become kind of fascinating for a lot of reasons. First off, sort of out of nowhere, the Birds are 4-2. So when you consider the consternation that's existed through the first month and a half of the season, including just as recently as last week when they were, you know, 3-2, I mean, they have a good record. Cincinnati has an improved record from where they were, because obviously Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, you know, supposed to be, you know, kind of prime Joe Burrow. They're supposed to be a title contender. They look nothing of the sort in the early going, but now have picked things up. To which I ask this question. If the Eagles win this game, I'm curious with everyone listening at 215-592-9494, are you on board? Now, let me go back a step and ask this question. Are you on board now? I think there's a lot of people, if I had to guess, but we can find out today, through you at 215-592-9494, I would guess a lot of people right now are not on board, but you're closer, obviously, than 2 weeks ago, probably closer than a week ago. So just first question, are you on board right now and believing in the Eagles now? Second question, if you're not, maybe straddling that fence, which you know, John, I'm straddling the fence, but more off, much more off the fence than on, much more. If they win this game, where does everyone stand? John, what are your thoughts on right now? What are your thoughts on if they win? Remember, this is a road game at Cincy. This will not be an unimpressive win if they get it. John, what will it mean if they get this game related to what you think?
I am currently cautiously on board. If they beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati, that is a strong win. And I will be much more confident in this team. I'm eyeing Nick Sirianni. I mean, I want to feel better about Nick Sirianni. I felt better about Nick Sirianni this week. I felt better watching him interact with the guys, watching the team respond to his, you know, issues. You know, he was struggling last week in a lot of ways because of his, you know, doofusness, for lack of a better word. But man, the team came and rescued him, and that means something to me. And that should mean something to all of us. I think, I'm on board, Joe, and I can't wait to try to see what Nick can do. Let's see you be a better coach against Cincinnati. I want to be further on board. Joe, like, you're about to approach the Eagles are good fence. Like, the Eagles, I believe,
don't know about that,
fence.
Man. I
the
don't
Eagles,
know about
I
that.
Believe, fence. I am on and past the fence. I climbed over the fence. I climbed over. It took some climbing. I'm over the fence. I'm, you know, considering the possibility that this fence may not be worth much. You know, I'm thinking about looking back. I'm not completely sold. You're not. Where are you? We went against this Bengals team who started the year very slowly, but now they're looking like the Bengals of old. We went against these guys. You should.
All right. Do you remember
start rethinking your stance?
Do you
man.
Remember when I told you as a kid I was afraid to like jump in the water as a like literally a swimming pool? So I would go.
You've never been a diver.
It's not what I do.
You've never dived.
Well, he doesn't even swim. He just doggy paddles.
I doggy paddle.
Have you ever jumped into water head first?
I would say probably not. I mean, if so, it's once or twice my whole life. Yeah. But yeah. And here's the point. It scared the hell out of me. And here's the point I'm driving at. I can't tell you how many times I'd be at Penn Charter's camp. Because I went to Penn Charter summer camp. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth. Well, second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Trying to make you dive?
I would approach the water and they'd be like, Joe, get in there. Joe, you can do it.
Was this off a diving board?
No, this was down at the shallow end of the pool.
What?
All right.
And shallow end
and
just jumping.
And I would approach the water.
Approach
and I would turn around. That's the analogy I'm giving you right now with this freaking fence thing you just brought up.
You're so, turning around and walking right, away from right. the fence of judgment? This is a fence of judgment for the Eagles. for this Cincinnati Bengals game. It's us against the world and we got a fence.
You know,
and we got to determine whether we're on the fence, whether we're past the fence.
You know, that's
James,
you know on a daily basis, I'll write down one or two questions to post. Like, I will literally write down a question to keep it very simple for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Am I now writing down the question, which side of the fence are you on?
I guess so.
With the Eagles?
Sure.
All right.
Perching on the fence?
All right,
fence?
So here's where I am. And, of course, we want to hear from you at 215-592-9494 as it relates to this fence, as it relates to being on board or not with the Eagles, as it relates to this upcoming game. Am I currently on board? No. And by on board, I'm talking about really believing in them. Do I really believe in them at this stage? I do not.
Well, the key is, what's it going to take for you to really believe in this quarterback?
So, well,
why is this such a hassle,
so
by the way?
So, here's the thing. I think that you touched on something very interesting there, John. He is, unfortunately, but to be truthfully, truthful, he's the main reason I'm not on board. Like, I can see a way for this team to become pretty good with all other parts. I mean, obviously,
he's our guy.
Well,
that's the thing that you seem obtuse about.
Well,
like, this does take time for our guy to learn a new offense. That does matter.
I just don't think he's good. So, you know, it's hard for me to see. Look, I know there are times. Look, he obviously was great a couple years ago. There's no denying that. We also know teams can have big success without a terrific quarterback. But we also know it makes it a lot harder. You know, it makes it a lot harder. And, you know, if they win this game, sure, I will be closer. Like, I'll put a leg over the fence, I guess. But I'm not going to be over the fence. I'm not going to be on board because I'm going to tell you right now how I think this whole thing plays out. End of the year, whether it's the end of the regular season and they miss the playoffs or early in the playoffs, I think they just lose because Jalen loses it. I hate to be so on October the 24th to tell you that. That's what I believe, John. So we can talk all we want about, you know, Saquon and AJ playing at Hall of Fame levels. Like, historic. It's awesome.
And what's going to happen defense when improving. That's, Jalen continues to improve this season?
Well, that's if he does.
But he hasn't.
Yeah, he really hasn't. And if you look at it over a two-year prism, he's going back. Like, he's worse this year than he was last year for the totality of the year. Like, he was pretty good in the first half last year. I think the longer defenses see what he's got.
I don't think we can accurately say that.
He doesn't pass across the middle.
AJ Brown sitting on the sideline for a majority of the season.
No, that's reasonable.
Wasn't that three games?
Three full games.
You got AJ sitting on the sideline.
Yeah.
Devontae.
They're 3-0 when AJ plays.
No, I mean, James.
Putting that out there.
No, I get it. It's like saying the Baltimore Ravens won with Ray Lewis when Trent Dilfer was their quarterback. Yeah. It can happen. And by the way, I'm not saying Jalen's as bad as Trent Dilfer, but
no,
he might be.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, actually. All right, 215-592-9494. So kind of a series of questions here. Are you on board with the Eagles right now? If you're not, but they win this game on Sunday, are you in? How do you stack up the Jalen reality in the conversation of the whole season? All of that and more, 215-592-9494. And if you're not on board, what's holding you back? And if you are on board, why are you there? Let's talk about it today. Put another way, which side of the fence are you on? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Look, we'll do a lot of Sixers today, a lot of Eagles, your phone calls throughout, even a little scotch. Scotch, is that the word? On the World Series, believe it or not.
Scotch.
A what?
Scotch. The World Series without the Phils. It's a travesty. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. Well, we'll see if the Sixers can break through this year with this new strategy. I do want to present this one question to everyone, because obviously we're heavy on the Eagles today, but I want to throw this one question out about the Sixers pretty early here in the show. Do you think their strategy of sitting Embiid a lot more this year is actually wise? Like, yesterday, we all, I don't want to say all of us, almost everybody came down on them, just came down on them. And part was because we don't like the strategy. Part is we don't like what the strategy represents. Part is, a lot of yesterday was also, we just don't like the way it was rolled out. It was very funky, the stuff that Nick Nurse was saying 2 days ago. And we now know, as Rhea just said, and we knew this yesterday, they're being investigated. But if you peel the onion back, I just ask you this question. Is their strategy, while not like the optimal situation, because optimally he'd be healthy and able to play 82 games, is it wise? I'm just going to put that out there, because it's not like they're doing this because they want to do it. They're doing it because they've got a player that gets hurt all the time. Is it a wise strategy? Yes or no? 215-592-9494. Chew on that one. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Douglasville. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Mike, I am sort of flummoxed about the Sixers, but I'm hopeful about our other teams.
Flyers?
Yeah, that's right. Boy, they stink. Holy mackerel, they stink. But anyway.
I'm going to hijack this thing for a second, because okay. I need to share something, because I am so freaking happy about it, and I promise it'll tie into Joel Embiid. Labor Day, I had what I will describe as a golf carting incident, because the real story is so much less cooler than just saying that, where I injured my shoulder and I thought I was going to need surgery. They thought I tore my rotator cuff. It turns out, I found out last night, I did not. Now,
I got to ask this really quick. Was it one of those quick turns? Did the golf cart fall on you?
No, it's so much less cooler, so that's why I just want to leave it.
Fair enough. Because I got to tell you, that has always been a fear of mine. Every once in a while.
No.
John, every once in a while.
Don't worry, man.
You have those moments where it's getting close.
I've taken golf carts to the limit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, you're safe.
You
don't have to worry.
It can be dangerous.
No, but John,
people do get hurt.
I'm sure.
They do.
But you're more... I don't know.
I mean, it's grounded. It's got a thick base.
You don't think Joe could hurt himself that way? What are you talking about? He absolutely could. What are you talking about?
So, Mike, tie this in, Joel. What's the point here?
So, for the last month and a half, however long it's been, I've been in so much pain. I haven't been able to, literally have not been able to lift my arm past a certain point. Last night, I find out it's not actually torn, so I get a cortisone shot, and I was told it was supposed to take like a week and a half till I actually start, feeling a little bit better or more better than what I am. Let me tell you something. There is a mental issue that comes into these type of things when you get an injury or you're told you need surgery or something like that. And when I woke up this morning, I was told I was going to be in a crap ton of pain where I would probably not be able to do my job. I woke up this morning in the greatest mood in the world knowing that I don't need surgery. And let me tell you, I've been able to lift my arm higher this morning than I have been in a month and a half. It feels freaking great.
Here's the thing. I think we have all always wondered, it's Joel's body, it's his approach to dealing with difficult. John,
the cortisone worked.
No, I know, but he's also saying that Joel accepts his body
like
not
that.
Being good enough. Because he's conditioned his mind to thinking his body's not good enough. That's
from day one.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
Mike, I don't know, man. I understand your theory. I honestly don't know. I do know that when we see him out there in the playoffs, when he's trying to push through something, I've never liked his body language, his facial expressions. I just got to imagine there's a way to deal with it in a way that's more, I got this.
But it's maybe unfair for us to expect that he would know that because of his path.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know? All right, let's go to Dwayne right now. Dwayne in North Philadelphia. Dwayne, good morning, buddy.
Yes, how you doing, sir? Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick couple questions about Jalen Hurts. When he took us to the Super Bowl, everybody and their mama was he was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, no question.
Oh, yeah, everybody was on his, I'm not going to be, but you know what I'm saying.
Of course.
Right? Everybody was all over him, right? Now, last year, let's look at this year. Last year was horrible, collapse. This year, the turnovers, no excuse, right? Now, you got to look at this. This is his third coordinator in 3 years. If you're locked in a system that you're comfortable in and you've been playing in this system for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, yes, that's called gelling. So to expect him being under a new system and being – now, if this is game 13, yeah, all the criticism that folks are saying now, yeah, give it to him. But come on, fellas, this is early on. And also,
Dwayne, I'm going to give you a three-word response, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. Three-word response. I think you have fallen into the excuse machine.
No, it's not an excuse, sir. If you really know football and understand it, in order for you to get great, it's a thing called consistency.
No, I get
There's
that.
There's no way you can bounce around from system to system to system to system. And that's one last point, sir. A.J. Brown was not a household word until he got with Jalen Hurts. He wasn't a top five receiver until he came here.
Well, he also didn't have a quarterback intended for what it's worth.
He was like top 10 before he came here.
Well, he got a $100 million contract.
More importantly, Dwayne, stop calling Joe sir.
I agree, man.
Enough.
There's none of that here. Now, sire, add an E. Sire, I'll take that. Now, right? Now, listen, Dwayne, I understand your point, and I hope you're right. I just, the longer I see this play out, I tend to think you're not. Dwayne, let me ask you a question. Are you on board with the Eagles this season? Right now?
Yes, because it takes time, fellas. It's like when you're baking a cake. You don't overnight get it. I think since we got internet, and we have email, and all these things. Quick, quick, quick. We want an instant champion. That's not how life works. Give you a quick point, okay? I predicted this. People laughed at me. It's going to be a Birds Super Bowl. Ravens against the Eagles. Two birds. It's going to be an exciting Super Bowl with two exciting quarterbacks. I'm not going to tell you who's going to win, though. But it's going to be the Ravens against the Eagles.
That sounds like a plan.
Listen, Dwayne, I hope you're right, man. An Eagles-Ravens Super Bowl.
That's a smash mouth one. Right?
I don't really know as a baker at cakes that take overnight to bake. I just thought about that. But, Joe, the point with Jalen, we keep hearing about the coordinators.
Yep.
The throws that he's missing are not grandly schemed things.
They're not.
They're simple throws.
That's right.
And so that has nothing to do with coordinating.
And throws he attempts not to make.
Yeah. He's brilliant at the ones that are, you know, the A.J. Brown. We know he can throw.
I think he's got a better deep ball than not deep ball, which is kind of weird.
He just won't throw it. Like all these, you brought up before about Dallas Goedert. Why would Dallas Goedert want to stay here when he's not going to throw?
Well, and I still think, I really truly believe this, that one of the biggest aspects of Jalen that's been under-discussed by us as a town, I think his height holds him back. And I think it's part of why he throws a better deep ball, because obviously you can have an arc that you're certainly going to get the ball over the line of scrimmage, you know, the defenders, that is. And, you can make that pass to A.J. Brown. But to stuff across the middle, you got a 6'3", 6'4" guy in there, got the hands up. I think that's an issue for him, much, much more than people think.
Who's 6'3" or 6'4"?
Some of the players.
Oh, I mean,
defensive lineman, offensive lineman.
He's nowhere close.
No, I'm saying the players in front of him.
He's saying that Jalen not being that tall is an issue.
My gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a real problem. I mean,
he has always been this height.
No, I know, but they had a very specific approach in 22, and I think his defensive coordinators caught up to some stuff. They're having a hell of a time adjusting to it. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, a cool prize. Plus, something Sirianni said to us this week. I know it pumped John up, pumped me up as well, about the Eagles running the ball. That and more, your phone calls and all these topics on 94 WIP. Good morning to you on a Thursday morning. Getting near Halloween. I guess the kids got to get those costumes ready.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's fun, though? The adult Halloween party. You know what I mean? Seltzer, when's the last time you went to an adult Halloween party?
Probably 5.5 years ago when I had Zoe.
That's cool. Yeah.
Why 5.5?
She's almost 6. I was just 6 years ago.
I mean, Halloween's in a week, so 5.5
Six
would be...
years ago, okay. Then probably. Okay. And even then, Emily was pregnant, so maybe seven years ago.
This guy not showing well for Temple. He's got a Halloween 5.5 years.
You're the guy who didn't know when Thanksgiving was, I was doing Zoe's age.
Hold on. What? Do you know when Thanksgiving is
now? Late November on a Thursday.
Oh,
about that. All right. I got confused a couple weeks ago. Ree, when's the last time you were at an adult Halloween party?
I would say it was probably like 25 years ago. And I only remember because I remember I went as the host of the party. And she got it the minute I walked in the door. It was actually...
That's a funny idea.
And they had dogs, so I had two stuffed animals.
Yep.
So it was... I literally went dressed as her.
I will say the adult Halloween party is fun, but... The kid with the Halloween, when they get into it, and the costume and the whole thing, it's more fun. I'm telling you. It's awesome.
I believe it. I mean...
Like, my daughter loves Halloween.
I'm never going to have kids, but I believe it.
It's really neat.
Out again with your kid and exploring in the dark with your flashlight, with the costumes, whether you have one on or not. Just being there and watching.
Love it, man.
It really reinvigorates something.
Nice. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor the survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question. How many regular season games, just take a guess, would you guess Joel plays this season? We know he ain't going to play 82. We know he ain't going to play 81. How many games do you think he plays this year? We've broken it down into four groupings. A, 60 or more. To me, that seems pretty damn unlikely. B, 50 to 59. I guess most Sixers fans would probably say, yeah, I'll take it. Not that you love it, but I'll take it. Choice C, 41 to 49. Yeah, it might be that. Last year he played, about 38 or 40 or something like that? Something like that. And choice D is 40 or less.
What are you going with?
I am going with 41 to 49.
Yeah, that's what I did.
41 to 49. Which would you be more inclined, Rhea, 40 or less or 50 to 59?
Oh, 40 or less.
Because he also could actually suffer an injury.
That's the whole
like an
point.
Actual injury.
It's why it was insanity to sit him for the season opener.
The whole thing is so weird. All right, second poll question. And I want to pose this to everyone listening as well. Just a little extra thing to, you know.
I would go 40 or less also.
Would you really? As your number, as your answer to your first question or the second question?
Like Joel Embiid, he didn't play to start the season.
The league might change. No, but
this
the league
is
might...
broken. Like the whole, the mindset, the idea, like the fact that the league is going to come down on the Sixers for this. This is so broken. Last night, that idea is so broken. And I don't know. It doesn't feel like everyone is like appreciating that.
The NBA is broken.
And he didn't show up. And he didn't just say, not just for that game. It's the next games, too. It's the next games, too.
I know.
He's saying, I'm not hurt, but I'm not playing for a week. How can you do that? Your job is to go and play.
Well, he might not be allowed to. I mean, so
again,
for what it's
his
worth.
Job is to not play as much as he has in the past because he has never made it through the playoffs healthy. No. Why not try something different?
No, it's not an unreasonable thought. It's just aggravating, and how they rolled it out was not good. All right, 215-592-9494. Second poll question. James, I'm going right to you. Who would you prefer to see to win the World Series? Your preference to win it, the Dodgers or the Yankees?
The Dodgers.
See, here's the thing.
I just can't do it with the Yankees.
I think I'm leaning Yankees.
That's crazy to
because
me.
Because the Dodgers are in the Phillies league.
I don't care.
The Phillies
honestly,
and the
what's
Dodgers.
Honestly, what's going to get the Phillies going more? Which of these two winners makes the Phillies be like, damn, that could have been us. That 100%. Was us. It's the Dodgers. The Dodgers is a clear answer.
John, what's your answer?
Dodgers, I think that makes a lot of sense, Jimmy. That does make a lot of sense.
I mean, the Phillies have also had a lot of history with the Dodgers in a way that it's much more cold-blooded through the years. I mean, much
more. But we don't hate the Dodgers the way we hate the Braves and the Mets.
No,
honestly, I hate
agree.
The Yankees more than I hate the Dodgers.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see where everyone stands. Yankees, Dodgers, 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to John in Allentown right now. John, good morning.
What's up?
What's up?
That wasn't too bad.
It wasn't.
Well, usually is.
Problem is, you got to say something after that. I know the commercial ended with that, but you know this is a talk show.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You know your one poll question. I'd say under 50 games for sure for Joel. Under 50.
Well, what'll be interesting, John? I'll tell you what's going to be fascinating. To what degree the NBA can influence things? There's the plan, and then there's what the plan becomes if the NBA says, we're going to dock you draft picks. We're going to fine you millions.
Yeah, I wonder if it gets to, because I know there's fines in the beginning, but I wonder if it does get to draft picks.
I don't know what it gets to. I don't, you know, can
What's
they.
Serious enough to they, make them reverse out about, of this plan?
How about
thing?
This? Can And I, guys, I'm just taking a guess. Can they say Joel suspended for the start of the playoffs? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so, but like.
They can dock draft picks
they
for
sure.
They
may come down really hard because, you know, that, again, as was pointed out last night in the broadcast, Stephen A. Smith, $77 billion TV deal. $77 billion.
I'm assuming the players in the league collectively bargained this player participation policy.
I don't know. A lot of stuff is collectively bargained. I don't know. But anyway, John, what do you got on the Eagles, my man?
Hey, you know, you're asking about, are you on the fence? Are you over the fence? Dude, I'm on this side of the fence, sitting in a chair, looking at the fence.
So
contemplating whether I'm going to climb the fence again, and get to the other side because I'm not convinced yet. Our coach is still a clown.
So that's
keeps
you furthest from trying to approach the fence, John. The coach is the biggest liability for your eyes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I feel similar.
Who I haven't seen and also our quarterback just. I have to see him progress, man. He's got to, you know, if the Eagles have a chance to beat the Bengals, the offense cannot come out and not score points in the first quarter.
Well, it's just beyond.
The Bengals are going to score. Yeah. They're going to score.
Yeah, I know.
So Jalen's got to do his job this week. You know, it's going to be a track meet. So, I mean, but as far as it goes, I'm on this side of the bench because the coach is still there. And I can see a lot more happening.
Okay.
As soon as something starts to go bad.
I will say this, John. Appreciate the phone call. The Eagles have played, believe it or not, one track meet this year, and they won it. Green Bay and the Eagles was pretty high scoring.
They should have scored like 41
34-29,
points.
34-29, I think it was.
And it went back and forth, and the Eagles kind of kept coming back and doing their thing. So they have, like, I know it seems like a while ago, because when he first said track meet, my initial inclination is, Eagles can't win a track meet.
Oh,
then I'm like, wait a minute,
can.
They did a month ago.
We've got the biggest playmakers in the NFL.
Well, they have two of them.
Most explosive
bursty,
plays.
Explosive, yeah,
incredible.
And by the way, that's what these teams value most right now. Everywhere you look, when I'm watching, you know, like inside the NFL type mm-hmm. stuff, like around the league type stuff, you hear the coaches after the game, hey guys, bring it up. What are we talking about today? Explosive plays. What are we talking about stopping? We're limiting the explosives.
Sure.
You know, like, this really is the new age vernacular.
I mean, Jalen talked about it yesterday. He said it's the team's identity or part of their identity. I thought that was a strong thing to say.
It was stop the run and run the football. That's what it was when I was playing.
Well, that's different
now. It's sometimes stop the run, sometimes run the ball, sometimes take what the defense gives you.
Yeah.
But you always have to stop big plays and go for
big plays. Here's the weird thing about this year and the explosive thing. The Eagles have a unique situation. They can get explosive plays with frequency in the running game.
By ground and by air, yes.
Yeah.
There's probably a handful of backs that even if there's nothing there, like it doesn't even have to be blocked for these guys. Saquon, McCaffrey, you know, guys, special guys like that. Kamara, guys who can catch it and run it, can give you everything a wide receiver can give you out of the backfield.
Yeah.
It gives you so many options.
Nick Sirianni joined us 2 days ago on the program, and John asked him about, you know, the running attack. Let's listen. I tell you what, I did like this answer. Here's Sirianni the other day.
Nick, are we a running football team?
Damn right.
Yes!
I think you saw that, you know, anytime you go over 200 yards rushing, you can say that for sure. I think that we've been able to run, since I've been here, we've been able to run the football efficiently. And it goes in ebbs and flows, right? You know how it goes. Sometimes the box is stacked and you got to be able to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so much faith in Jalen and our receivers and our tight ends and to be able to do that when we need to. But in this game, all right, you do what you need to do to win the football game, right? And that's in this game, it was about the running game. And I don't know where we are ranked in the league. I would assume we're pretty high after, you know. But anytime you go over that 200-yard mark, and I don't know how many times we've done that since I've been here. It feels like a lot, but it's just this great feeling when you're able to do that. And so I think we can, I said, you're right, definitely, we're a running team. But we have the ability to do both things, and the game will dictate that.
Look, I liked his answer. I liked the force with which he said it. I get his point to say, but we also got to be a passing team.
He pulled it back a little bit.
A little bit. But I do think
they're ranked two.
Yeah.
You got the Ravens in the lead. I love that we're number two in the NFL rushing the football behind a behemoth like the Baltimore Ravens. And we're far behind.
I believe.
But we're behind. We're number two.
I believe the Eagles should become even more of a running team. I really do.
Of course.
You know, because
that would work.
I mean, one, you got Saquon. And two, I think, God, if they could ever, ever develop a play action pass game. Like, Jalen does throw a nice deep ball. For all my criticisms of him, he throws a pretty damn good deep ball. And so I would like to see some ground and pound with, hey, let's confuse the safety where the action is and try to throw over the top with A.J. Brown and Devontae. By the way, speaking of wide receivers,
it's going to happen, Joe. And we have a setup here. The way it's setting up, the fact that we are number two in rushing.
Yep.
When you look at the Ravens offense, the bind that they put offenses in. Now, they use more personnel, but you know they use a fullback, too. Now,
I do,
We've got Van Sumeren in there as a fullback. We're experimenting with creativity.
Major difference,
with the run game.
Major
which is
difference.
Great to see.
No, I agree with that, but major difference. Lamar is still Lamar as a runner. Jalen's not what he was 2 years ago. He's just not.
And I think Jalen throws the ball better than Lamar does.
No,
and
he
I
does. Think that's they right. Have that's right.
They have Todd Monken, their offensive coordinator, has been proven, you know, to work well with Lamar.
Yep.
And they've got something good going on right now. But they've got something that approaches what I think, you know, we should be doing. Heavy dose of running the football, yeah. But you've also got, you know, nice drops in the bucket downfield. Like, I would want to throw it more than they do, but I think it's an approximation of what our offense could look like.
Yeah, and they're hiding Lamar.
When we're humming.
They're always partly hiding Lamar. By the way, one quick wide receiver question, then I want to get to give everyone a chance to win the Sarah Silverman tickets today. Maybe it's about contract. Can someone explain to me how in the world DeAndre Hopkins got traded for a fifth rounder and Jahan Dotson got traded for a third rounder?
Thinking about that.
The easy answer is that Jahan Dotson has an extra year of control on his draft. I agree with you.
Oh,
I'm not.
God.
Jahan Dotson stinks, but that was how he misevaluated.
He
obviously.
Does. He's not good.
No, well, he hasn't been good. How he misevaluated, but misevaluated the market too. Mm-hmm. But that's why.
It's John, has you thought about that? One guy's a five, one guy's a three. No, I'm sure
you didn't think about it with like Amari Cooper went for a third. I've thought about this the whole time. Amari Cooper went for a third. Devontae Adams went for a third. Dimes was never coming here.
Hold on. They make a lot more money.
But they're done at the end of the year. Like they're it's a 1 year
thing. But you have to assume that for the year.
But the Eagles have like $33 million in cap left this year.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah, they've got a ton of cap, or maybe it's not quite that much, but they have a lot of cap. Howie always has cap.
Go
left.
Get Cooper Kupp.
I wouldn't though. You already trade a third. You're gonna go. They need a pass rusher if you're gonna make a trade.
Need a quarterback.
I'm not even ready to go there.
Well, they might need a quarterback. Hey, 215-592-9494. By the way, when you call in today, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Sarah Silverman at the Met Philly on November 21st. Tickets on sale today and always at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. All right, John, I saw earlier this morning, I was looking it up online, this day in history. This day back in 1648.
Great year.
The 30 Years' War ended.
Ah.
Which I guess means it started in 1618.
Wait, there was a 30 years war.
100, and there's a 7 years war. There's all the. All right. So here's the deal. Today, boys and girls, we ask you, put that thinking cap on. Give us, like in the 30 years war, where there's a number in a phrase, some kind of phrase, something like. Now, James, I need a ruling here. Do titles count or are titles discounted? Like, if someone said...
Why would they be discounted?
Yeah, I think they count, so especially if they become... Like, a lot
so
of...
So, title or phrase?
No. Hold
that's
on.
That's what I'm asking.
No. It's a phrase, not
that's
a title.
Why I agree.
It's only if
you
the...
You just
if
changed
the,
your mind.
I'm sorry. What I was trying to say is if the title has become a phrase, like, it can be something that was originally a title but has become something that people say.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I agree. It can't be, like, just, like... 12 monkeys. Like,
right.
That doesn't count.
2001 in Space Odyssey. I don't need that.
Like, that doesn't count.
Here's what I need. 4 score and 7 years ago. I got a number in there. It's from a quote. It's become a phrase that is repeated. Like, put the thinking caps on. Give us a number in a phrase. There are a lot of big answers. By the way, I have one in mind as the potential winning answer. We'll see if anyone gets it today. John, when you think of a number in a phrase, because there are a lot of examples, what do you got?
I'm not sure on all the rules. I might need them explained on this again. But
what's the baker's dozen one?
What was that? 2020.
Yes, yeah, that's a great answer.
Yes, that's
well,
right.
Why wouldn't that work?
That would work. Now, that's good. Seltzer, a number and
so
a phrase.
So I'll give you an example of one that I believe was originally a song, but just became something that people say when this comes up. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Oh, okay, I understand it. Rhea, what do you got here for a number and a phrase?
Six and one, half dozen of the other.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That's, yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right.
We got this. We can do this, guys.
We can do this. Big time answers abound. There's one I'm thinking of. I won't give you a hint. I wonder if it'll win. We'll see.